Good. I used to have a little stool over here, but that's not going to keep me from going any longer. I got some good legs. I'm going to stand up here anyway, right? That's all right. I don't need it. I'm good. I'm gonna run around here. I don't need it. No problem. Okay. Yeah, I'm good. If I fall out, somebody, y'all come help me, all right? Okay. How's about this series, True Righteousness Revealed? How have y'all been doing? Y'all enjoying the series? I know I hooked Brother David up with a good message last week. He got to talk to y'all about loving your enemies. Woo, man. I bet he appreciated that, huh? For me, letting him do that one, huh? And then on the very end of the last verse of his sermon, we hear Jesus say, be perfect because your heavenly Father is perfect, you know? And I'm like, wow, you know, how's that even possible? And as I'm looking at this whole series and where we're going, it's True Righteousness Revealed, and we're going to be in Matthew 6, 1 through 4, and your worship guide and stuff. There's not a lot of notes and stuff, but we're going to do quite a few scriptures tonight, and so if you'll just write those down and look at them a little bit later. But through this series, we have seen Jesus present us with impossibilities to achieve on our own. Amen? Amen. Some of the things we've been asked to do, man, there's just absolutely no way that we can do them, right? On our own, we can't love our enemies. And as we were left with last week, we surely can't be perfect. Okay? But every impossibility, see, we don't have a mean old God that's just putting a big standard out there that we can't deal with. Okay? Every impossibility presented to us by Christ is designed to make us cling to Him. See, that's what we should do when we get to in the impossibility. So you're going to hear me tonight probably say some things like, run to Jesus, you know, because we're talking about giving and some different things, you know, and there's going to be some impossibilities for us to do without the Lord, okay? Run to Jesus. Cling to Jesus. He never intended us to do the Christian life alone. That's why He sent His Spirit as our counselor to lead us, to teach us all things and to remind us of everything He has said to us. It's through this real and personal relationship that we communicate with God personally and where we get our motivation and direction. See, that's where it comes from, that relationship with God. And some of y'all tonight, you may not have that relationship with it. The relationship, we're talking about that holy God we just sang about. He allows us to have a relationship through His Holy Spirit, okay? And any act of righteousness or good deed done apart from that relationship with God is just wasted energy. From God's perspective. See, anything that we do, any righteous act that we do, apart from that relationship, is just worthless. Okay? In John 15:5, my life verse says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, he can do nothing. Okay? And I want you to grab a hold of that tonight, because that's what's going to happen. We can do nothing without him. Okay? So why is this important? All right? Reason I think it's important, because I believe so many of us are trying to do the Christian life on our own power. Amen? Some of y'all trying that? All right? We hear a message, and just kind of bear with me here. We hear a message. The Holy Spirit convicts us to want to do better. And see, that you know, the conviction, come on, guys. We got to really ask ourselves, when conviction comes, what's really going on? God is trying to draw us closer to Him. He's not trying to make us feel bad, okay? And so we hear a message, the Holy Spirit convicts us to want to do better, then we set out to not get angry. We'll look at some of the things we talk. We set out not to get angry, not to lust, not to get a divorce, not to lie, not hate our enemies, and we want to read the Bibles more, we want to pray more, but we keep trying, but we just keep achieving temporary results at best. Does that describe anybody out there? You know? I mean, we're trying, we're doing it, man. We want to do everything God wants to do, but we just have a hard time doing it on our own. Well, He didn't intend for us to do it on our own. Okay? And, you know, to me, the answer to that is why we do what we do is more important than what we do. See, we're trying to do this Christian life on our own, but we got to ask ourselves, why are we doing it and who are we doing it for? Because we are a doing people, amen? Okay, this church came from a bunch of outreach people, and we are such a doing church. We are a doing people. And it seems like from our perspective, that if we're not doing something to show that we're righteous, we don't feel righteous. Okay? If we don't feel like that something's happening in our life, we don't feel like nothing's going on. But I'm going to tell you what, God does not care what you do. God cares who you are. Okay? He wants you to be before He allows you to do anything. He's in the character building business. Why does He want to send you out to do something if you've got a small character? You know, we got a God that wants to work you first, then send you out. Why is He going to send you out if you ain't got no character? Okay? And so those are the kind of things that we got to quit being a doing people. We got to ask God, search my heart. Okay? So God's more interested in who you are than what you do. See, we like this term called religion. Okay? Religion's easy for everybody. All right? Religion's easy. It's got rules. It's got standards. It's got things. See, religion is created by man to get to God. See, you can come in here and do whatever. As long as you do this, everything's fine, you know, and you've got this sense of righteousness that comes from religion. That's religion. Is man's attempt to get to God. Okay? But while true righteousness is offered by God because He desires peace with man. See, that's true righteousness. See, religion is self-centered because it's all about what we can do. Where true righteousness is God-centered. It's about everything that God can do. And religion is performance-based, whereas true righteousness is by grace through faith. See, there is nothing you can do to get to heaven. Can I say that again? There is nothing you can do to get to heaven. It's by faith and grace as well, okay? It's God's grace that allows you to enter into a relationship with His Son, okay? It's by God's grace that you do that. So quit trying to work your way to heaven, because it's not going to get you there, all right? And so tonight, in these next chapters, we're starting in chapter 6, you know, Jesus is forcing us, we're moving a little bit from the sermon, okay? Jesus is forcing us to consider our motives for giving this week, praying and fasting, living and worrying. So again, the title of my message tonight is why do you do what you do? It's not what you do that counts. It's why you're doing it. It's the heart behind it. It's the motive. Okay, let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight, God, and I thank you for these people. God, I pray that you examine our hearts, Lord, and as we talk about giving, Lord, to the needy and just giving in general a little bit, God, I pray no one would just put their guard up, Lord, because you're at church and you're talking about giving. God, I pray, God, that would not be the case here. God, I ask, God, that you would open our hearts and let you do your work in our lives tonight. God, so I just lift tonight up to you, Lord. Let me get out of the way and let you be exalted. Amen. So we're going to start in Matthew 6, 1 through 4. So we're going to start with the scripture that says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Okay, we see Matthew 6, the very first two words in this next section, Matthew 6, is be careful. Okay, that tells me that Jesus is trying to get our attention, that we need to be cautious, we need to be attentive to some of the next things that he's telling us to do, okay? Because we can get caught up in the thinking that giving to the needy is a good thing, but if we don't do it with the right heart, it's not a good thing, okay? He's telling us to be careful, because there's some potential danger there. That you might get a little bit of religion in you thinking you're doing something good for somebody, okay? It ain't about religion, it's about a relationship. That's what tonight is all about. You having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, not no religious activity, okay? Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward with your Father in heaven, okay? So what are these acts of righteousness? I mean, acts of righteousness are right living because of your relationship with God. These are the things that you do because of the relationship that you have with God. Not to get one, okay? These acts of righteousness, the good deeds, the things that we do, okay? But in these verses, we see Jesus again challenging the heart and the motive of those listening when he says not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them, okay? But it's just like we saw with these kids and everything. It's a human tendency to want to be praised and recognized and accepted by others for good things we've done. Amen? Everybody wants to be recognized for what they've done. You see children, man, when children look, Daddy, look at me. Mommy, look at me, you know? My little grandson Brody, when he's over, you know, we'll say, he'll be going and playing, you know, and he'll look back, make sure somebody's watching him. You know, he wants to make sure somebody's watching. And then he'll even get the bow to sit down and go like this. I don't want you to just watch. I want you to sit down here with me. I want you to notice what I'm doing. See, that's kids. That's from, you know, nobody taught him that. That's from the inside. We all have those things, all right? Teenagers want more than anything to be popular. And y'all dress crazy, y'all look crazy, and y'all act crazy sometimes, you know? Just to be accepted, just to be popular, okay? I don't understand. It's been a long time since I've been a teenager, okay? I don't understand that, all right? I love you guys and all that, but we're going to work our way through all of that, but we love you, you know? I don't understand you, but we love you, all right? And adults, we're not off the hook either, right? Okay? Because we do worry about what others think about us, right? Some of y'all would probably never mow your yard if you didn't have neighbors. Right? Right? If you weren't worried about what your neighbors thought, you need to let the grass grow this tall, you know? I mean, that's the truth. Y'all might as well just admit it, you know? Now, some of y'all be clipping it with scissors, okay? Y'all different. Everybody's different, all right? And clothes, man. I've heard my wife say things like, "Man, I can't go out looking like this," you know? I'm like, as long as it, okay, let me qualify. Butch talked about lust. You got to put some clothes on, okay? We ain't talking about coming out with no clothes on, but you should not worry about what you look like on the outside as far as you're trying to please God, okay? I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with primping up and acting and looking beautiful, okay? I got a beautiful wife, and I love it that she likes to dress nice all the time, okay? She wakes up looking like that. I love it. That's good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Y'all try that one, guys. That's good, huh? Yeah. Oh, man, I'm trying to lighten y'all up because we're going to get into some stuff here in a minute, all right? You know, what we drive and everything, those kind of things, all right? But when Jesus says, be careful, he's warning us that if the only reason we're acting out our righteousness is so that others will be impressed with us, we will receive no reward from our Father in heaven, okay? If you're doing anything to please somebody other than God, there's going to be no reward in heaven, okay? In God's eyes, it's like he never even did it. No eternal value, only temporary. See, in Isaiah 64:6, we're taught all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sin sweeps us away. See, there's none of us that are righteous, not even one, okay? Not even one of us is righteous. There's nothing we can do to be righteous, okay? All our righteousness are like filthy rags, okay? That's what Isaiah tells us. So basically what that tells me is apart from him, I can do nothing, right? And so, why you do what you do? I'm going to ask you the question tonight. Why do you do what you do? So let's do just a little bit of evaluation, okay? And even taking some of the things that we talked about in this series lately, okay? Why do you not show anger, okay? Is it because you want to honor God? Or is it because you don't want your church folks to know that you got angry? Well, you know, because some of y'all don't get angry at church and you blow up at home. You know? You blow up at work, okay? So who are you trying to please? You trying to please the church folks or you trying to please God? Okay? These are things. Why do you do what you do? Okay? Why do you stay married? Okay? Is it because you know what God thinks about divorce? Or you know God's power to fix any situation? Or is it because you don't want the people at the church to know, and your family to know that you got a divorce? Okay? Why do you do what you do? Alright? So why do I keep my word? Man, that's weird that since I preached that one, there's been a couple of times people come up to me and they tell me they're going to do something. Oh man, I'm going to do it because I told you I was going to do it. That's good. That's good keeping your word. Because we talked about if you don't keep your word, you're a liar. Okay? That's good. But if you're doing it just to please me, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Okay? You need to keep your word because God tells you to keep your word, not because I'm going to notice. Okay? Remember, why do we do what we do? All right? Why do I not retaliate? Why do I pray for my enemies? Why do I come to church? You know? Why do you come to church? Why do I serve? Is it because there's a need or is it because God really wants to use me and he's gifted me in this area, okay? Why do I do what I do? And as we're going to talk about tonight, why do I give? All right, do you give to get back or do you give because God's worthy? Why do you do what you do, okay? And so we're going to go to the next verse. It says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Verse 2 starts, so when you give to the needy. So we've done our righteous acts, okay? When you give to the needy, and he talked about it up here on the children's chat. So when, it says, that's not an option, okay? As a Christian, one thing I want to say, giving is expected of God's people, okay? Because we serve a giving God. He gave everything, right? Okay? We're his representative, so as his representative, we need to be giving people, okay? We have a giving and loving God. So when you give to the needy. And see, what was happening in this culture, to give to the needy, they gave alms. Okay? And alms were gifts to the needy, and it came from that word alms comes from the Greek word for mercy. See, you gave because you cared about folks, okay? You gave because of that, okay? Mercy. And alms were freely given to relieve the poor, Okay? That system took care of the poor. Okay? It wasn't the government. It was the church. It was the religious system. Okay? All right? In Proverbs 14:21, it says, "He who despises his neighbor sins, but blessed is he who is kind to the needy." Proverbs 14:31, "He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God." See, when you look down on the needy and you oppress them, you are despising their maker, okay? If you're not needy, it's because of the grace of God, okay? Amen? Huh? The grace of God, if you're not needy today, it's because of the grace of God, okay? And if you are needy and you're a Christian, God still tells you to give, okay? It doesn't matter the position you are, the standards stay the same, okay? All right. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 14, 28 through 29. See, I want to go through this and let you know that God expects His people to give. That's why I'm reading you a bunch of scriptures, because I don't want y'all to just get all over me. Y'all can get on God, okay? That's up if y'all want to do that. All right. Deuteronomy 14, 28 through 29. It says, "At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year, produce and store it in your town, so that the Levites, who have no allotment in their inheritance of their own, and the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows who live in the towns may come and eat and be satisfied, and so that the Lord may bless you in all the work of your hands." See, even in the Old Testament, they brought the tithes in on that, and they gathered up the tithes, and they did it for the Levites. See, the Levites were the ones, they were the religious ones that had already committed themselves to the Lord. They didn't have no way to make no money. So they needed the tithes and stuff for food for them. They were needy, okay? And all the other fatherless and widows. And even though they were blessed from this tithe, it also says in there, "so that the Lord may bless you in all the work of your hands." See, when you give and you do things God's way, God blesses you. Okay? He blesses you with His presence and these blessings of material things, maybe, maybe not, okay? But I'm gonna tell you what, God will bless you with His presence. Alright? And in the New Testament, we see the early church care for its poor, okay? In Acts 6, the deacons were established to help in the daily distribution of food for the widows. See, they created a position just to take care of the hungry and the poor, okay, and the widows. Y'all turn over to Acts 4, verse 32, okay? Keep going, just go this way. This is we get a great picture of an amazing church right here, okay? And I'm just going to read some things here. Starting in verse 32, Acts 4. "All the believers were one in heart and mind." Wow, huh? We could just stop right there and say, "Wow, God, that's impossible." You know? What did I say about the impossible things? Cling to Jesus, okay? If we ain't all in one heart and one mind, hey, if we'll all look to Jesus, we will be, okay? Cling to Jesus. "No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own." Whew, impossible, right? Cling to Jesus. "But they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them." Impossible, right? Cling to Jesus. From time to time, those who owned lands and houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need." That's right giving right there. That's allowing God to take what He's given you and blessed you with, and you turn it back to the Lord and let Him use it, okay? "Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet." Amazing, huh? That's a borderline perfect church from my position, from my position, you know. But I'm going to tell you, even though it seems in our culture that church seems to be so far out there, that's the model. You know, that's the early church that started good. Okay, who messed it up? Us, you know. And so we got to really go back to these principles. Why do we do what we do? Okay, we all. And to look after each other was what we're supposed to be doing. Galatians 2:10, we see the apostles in their acceptance and commissioning Paul and Barnabas to preach to the Gentiles. See, the apostles picked Paul and Barnabas to go to the Gentiles. And this is Paul speaking in Galatians 2:10. He says, "And all they asked was that we continue to remember the poor. The very thing I was eager to do." See, Paul, they're going out and they're going to preach the gospel. And the apostles told Paul, "Remember the poor." You know, because I think they tell them those things is because it's real easy to forget when God's being good to you, right? Okay? It's real easy to forget those less fortunate when God's so good to you sometimes, okay? That's when we forget God, is when the things are going good. When we're needy, we don't forget God, okay? It was important to the apostles. And in Matthew 25, 31 through 46, I want you to write that one down, and I want you to read that parable. That parable is the parable of the sheep and the goats, okay? Matthew 25, 31 through 46. The dividing of the sheep and the goats. See, the final judgment was made dependent on the care given to the needy. See, basically he was saying, you did all these things to me, to those, the least of these, you did them to me, okay? You fed the hungry. You went and visited me when I was in prison. You did all these acts of worship, but you did them because of me, okay? And then those who didn't do it, they did not enter the kingdom of heaven. See, this is a big deal that we consider the poor and we consider others around us, okay? So if you love Jesus, you will be mindful of the needy. That's just the truth of the situation, okay? 1 John 3:17 says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Okay? That's not me. That's God's word, okay? And it's not always money or food, okay? In this, it was food, okay? In Acts 3, 1 through 10, we see Peter and John going to the temple, okay? And somebody brought the beggar up. The beggar's looking at them. He's looking for money because that's what beggars do and because that's the only way they had to make a living, okay? It's not like these guys we see on the side of the street right now, okay? It's not the same, okay? These beggars were really needy people, okay? Peter, John, go to this guy and they look at him. And he looks straight in the eye and he asks, you know, of course he's expecting money. But Peter says, man, silver and gold, I don't have any, okay? But in the name of Jesus, what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk, okay? It wasn't money. He didn't throw money at the problem because he knew there was a greater need for that guy. He needed to get up and walk. And verse 7 says he reached his hand down and he helped that brother up, okay? Sometimes people don't need your money. Sometimes people need your heart. Sometimes people need your care, okay? Sometimes people need your hand. So just throwing money at the issue, that's not the answer sometimes. But I'll tell you, we like to do that because it's easier, right? It's easier to just pay the bill, all right, instead of get involved, all right? It doesn't require us getting involved. But see, I'm going to just tell you, you're going to go out with a message like, you're going to try to help everybody on the street right now. I'm going to tell you what, you'll get took. All right? Amen? Okay? Because there are some legitimate needs. The beggars that we have today aren't like the ones back there. Okay? Those people were really, really needy. That's why, because I know religion tells y'all, it would sure be nice if Alan would tell me what's right and what's wrong. See, I can't tell you that. See, I don't know who God's going to put in your path. I don't know if it's going to be a scammer or a legitimate need. That's why you need Jesus. That's why you need Jesus. You need that relationship with Jesus. You need that check in your spirit. You need something to tell you that ain't right or you need to get involved. The relationship, that's what I'm talking about. Okay? The relationship with God is what you need. You don't need no rules. Okay? You don't need no standards. You need a relationship with God. Okay? Because everybody don't need your money. Some people need some food. I'm going to tell you just a good rule of thumb. This ain't no great rule, but it's a good rule of thumb. Just don't always give money because gas and food seem like what these guys are asking for sometimes. Man, take them to McDonald's. All right? Whatever. You know, do something legitimately. Sometimes if you offer to do that, they won't do nothing. You know, but they don't want it. They want $5 because they got a drug habit. Okay? There's something going on. They want money. Whatever it is. Okay? Do not feed their habit with money, okay? Feed their habit with Jesus, okay? You start preaching to them, they'll leave you alone. If they're not serious, okay? If they're really needy, they're gonna stay around for the story, all right? Okay. Well, we might go all night, man. I'm getting all worked up. Giving is expected with the right motive. You know, 2 Corinthians 9 tells us we're supposed to be a cheerful giver, okay? Let's go a little bit further. Let's look what giving with the wrong motives looks like. Do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. Okay? And before we get on the hypocrites, alright, I want everybody to agree with me. We've all been one at some point, amen? Okay? Church full of hypocrites, we've been it. We don't have to be it. We are it. That's the label we get, okay? But it ain't okay. All right? It's not okay. We've all been it at some point, okay? The hypocrites would always make sure that others saw what they did. See, to them, they literally were acts of righteousness. They were just acting, you know, because that's what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is an actor. He's got the mask on. He's something on the outside. He's different on the inside. He's acting out his faith. Okay, these religious folks, they were called hypocrites. All right, and they were, and Kerry talked about it. You know, the trumpets. It says they announce it with trumpets. You know, and I read a couple of different commentaries and stuff. Some said maybe it wasn't a literal trumpet, but I was listening to Adrian Rogers on the radio that night. He talked about trumpets. He said from his perspective, what they would do is they would blow these trumpets. The religious guys would get out there when it was time to give. They would blow the trumpets, and the poor people knew that it was time to go get something for them rich folks. Okay. The religious rich folks, okay, they'd blow the trumpets, they'd come, okay? They would come, even in the temple days, where, when you'd give your offering, there was, the receptacles were on the outside, and people would just drop it in. Most of that currency was coins, okay? And so when the rich people jump a bunch of coins in, it brought some attention, okay? And so they just bring all pennies, I guess. I don't know. Make it sound good. I don't know. Quarters sound different. Y'all know that? Quarter hitting the ground, I'm turning around. I know when a penny hits the ground. Something about this. So we know what money sounds like hitting the ground, right? That's free. Well, see, all hypocrites like actors desire an audience. Okay, if no one notices, they find a way to make sure they do. And religious folks just get slick sometimes. They'll do kind of like Kelsey did over here. They'll talk about, "Man, God sure used me this weekend. You know, I was able to bless them. I was able to bless them. I was able to bless them. God sure used me this weekend. Want to make sure y'all know. Want to make sure y'all know I'm spiritual. I'll help somebody. All right." But notice who these hypocrites were. Okay. They were the religious. Okay. The Pharisees, they were dressed up in their garb. I mean, they were decked out. They wanted everybody to know that they were important. Okay. I'm going to go off on a little bit here, just a little bit, guys, and y'all just bear with me. I think this applies. Church, we need to examine ourselves and our witness, because the lost world notices how and what we spend our money on. And this became real to me this week. I had a lost friend of mine come to my house, and I've been trying to witness to him forever. He don't want nothing to do with Jesus. You know, he loves me, hates Jesus, or he just don't know Jesus. And he says, you know, these guys, he knows this guy where he lives, a preacher, you know, got the big car, big fancy deal, living an extravagant life when people are just poor as dirt, you know, okay? That's his perspective, okay? I'm not saying that this guy is not using that as an excuse to come to church, okay? And what I'm not saying is that you can't be wealthy, okay? Bear with me. We're gonna get to what I'm saying. All I know is hypocrisy is killing the church, amen? Okay? So we really got to examine ourselves on the way we live our life, the way we spend our money, and what that looks like in front of other people, okay? And we're fixing to enter in a time of Christmas. Man, Christians should be the greatest example in Christmas, huh? So we shouldn't fall for that worldly consumerism of Christmas and do these kind of things just to please other people, okay? And we shouldn't go into debt just to get things to impress our kids or to impress our family, because we're all going to get together. My kid ain't going to have this, but they're going to have that, okay? You don't need to go in it. That does not define you, okay? That does not define you. Because when you do that, you're just an actor in debt, you know? When you go into debt, all you're trying to do is impress some people you don't like, okay? It's the truth. I mean, all of us, for a lot of the things, okay? So let's get away from this consumer, worldly Christmas, okay? So I ask you, why do you give what you give? And you think, man, hang on, what's the line? What's rich? What's not? What's overdoing it, you know? I'm sure y'all like for me to give y'all one. So y'all could check that off your mark and go up to that point, okay? But here's the thing. Rich is a relative term. Most of your relatives are rich, right? No, really, rich is a relative term, because the guy who has a Lexus to the guy who has a Lexus, the guy with the Ferrari is worldly, okay? And to the guy with the Lexus, or to the guy with a Buick or whatever, the guy with the Lexus is worldly, okay? So where's the line? Where is that, okay? And here's the thing, I can't give that to you. Praise the Lord. I can't give you that answer. That's why it takes a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. See, as a Christian, you can't go on the rule that Alan gave you tonight on what's right or what's wrong. You got to ask God, okay? It's God's money anyway. You know, it's His money. I don't care how much you got, it's God's, okay? Or how little you have, it's God. We're going to get to that in a minute, okay? Every one of us are to give, all right? But I'm telling you, ask God. We all agree with me that Jesus is God? Amen? John 5:19-20. We see Jesus. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. If God couldn't do nothing by Himself, the Son couldn't do nothing by Himself, what makes you think you can? Okay? He can only do what He sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also, for the Father loves the Son and shows Him all He does. Yes, to your amazement, He will show Him even greater things than these. And in John 5:30, we see, by Myself, this is Jesus talking, by Myself, I can do nothing. Okay? Jesus ain't asking you to do nothing He didn't do. You know? Ask God what you're supposed to do. Because apart from Him, you can do what? Nothing. Jesus, apart from the Father, what can Jesus do? Nothing. Okay? Do you need the Father? If you're going to do anything, you do. You know? If you ever be anybody, you're going to be the Christian, we're going to be the church, we're going to be the people that God's called us to be, we need Jesus. Verse 3. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Again, but when you give to the needy, it's assumed that we're going to give to the needy, okay? He gives some other things. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand... He didn't just tell them, this is what you're not supposed to do. I'm gonna give you a little system of how, what to do, okay? That's the kind of guy we serve. He always gives us the answer when He gives us a question, you know? A lot of times the answer is wait, or depend on Him, or trust me. There's a lot of things, you know, that God does, but he takes care of us, okay? But our culture says, if you have it, flaunt it, right? I think these verses are telling us to give and forget. Do not let the left hand know what the right hand know what your left hand's doing, okay? You give, you forget all about it, okay? And there's some principles right there that if we remember, God will forget. If we keep in track of all the good things that we've done, God don't even know you did them, you know? But if we forget, God will remember. God knows your heart. You can do whatever you want to. God will remember if we forget, okay? There's a quote by Mark Schaffelli. I don't even know how to say his name. It's spelled crazy. Anyway, he says, I even asked my wife. She didn't know either, so we decided on Schaffelli, all right? This is a quote from him. Our purpose should be to meet every need we are able to meet and leave the bookkeeping to God. See, that's what happens when people, God's going to put people in your path where you can meet a need, but you need to leave the bookkeeping to God, okay? So that your giving may be in secret, then your Father who knows what is done in secret will reward you. So you think, well, dang, does that mean that we shouldn't give openly and publicly? Now, this doesn't condemn open and public giving because I think what it's saying is that it doesn't condemn public giving, but whenever possible, we should remain anonymous. Okay? Whenever possible, we should remain anonymous. Because the early church, when they brought stuff before the apostles' feet, everybody saw. Okay? All right? But the motive, you don't worry about that. You worry about this. Okay? God will take care of what it looks like on the outside, because we're also said to let our light shine before men that they may glorify our Father in heaven. Okay? It almost seems like a contradiction, but it's not. Okay? It's the motive behind both of those. All right? So we're still supposed to do that. But it doesn't in offering, okay? When offering plate goes by, I'm gonna tell you right now, if you're a visitor, I know we say it every night, if you're a visitor, we do not want your money, okay? We are so glad you're here, all right? When the offering plate comes by, don't feel guilty about it, you know? Don't feel guilty, just pass it on, all right? It doesn't mean anything. Now, also, in the offering plate comes by, go ahead and fold your $100 bill up, you know? Don't just go on shining where everybody can see it, you know? That's just me. All right? Fold your check where nobody don't see. You know? There's just some little discreet things that we can do. I'm not saying it's wrong to put a $100 bill on the plate flat. Okay? I'm just saying, check your heart. Okay? Public giving's okay, all right? We got a shoe drive out there. Public giving. When you go back there and you pick your shoe out tonight, win, you know, it's assumed, all right? Okay, I got it, all right? I'm glad to use that word tonight. When you go back there and get your shoe tonight, somebody going to see you get the shoe. You're going to have to tell Miss Dan, write it down and everything like that. And people are going to get to see you do your act of righteousness if they're watching, okay? You do it with a right heart, it don't matter. You can grab that whole board and walk out like a boombox for all I care, you know. You can grab that whole board. If you got the right heart, it don't matter, okay? We need these shoes taken care of, all right? Okay? But I'm just telling you, it does not matter what you do, it matters why you do it, okay? And I want you to remember that in almost everything that we do, and I want you to check your heart in almost everything that we do, okay? We're going to finish out with some giving that glorifies God from my perspective in God's Word, okay? Regular giving. See, God's people shouldn't be just giving on Thanksgiving and Christmas. Man, there's a lot of organizations hitting these streets on Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'm going to tell you what, we're here for the long haul, right? Okay, we got to be giving all the time. Okay, because it's who we are. We got to give regularly. We got to be people who this is a lifestyle for us. This is not no game. Okay, that's part of who we are. One of the things in our vision, we want to be authentic Christians. Okay, we can't pull up on Saturday. Or we can't pull up weeks at a time if we're authentic. Okay, keep going. Regular giving. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 says, "Now about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money, keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made." See, first day of the week, set aside a sum of money with your income, okay? Didn't give you a dollar amount, because we're not doing rules here, okay? We're doing a relationship, okay? You are a steward of God's money when he gives you money. And regular giving is an act of worship. Amen? And it shows our appreciation and our dependence on God to provide. We shouldn't say, I'll give what I can afford after I pay my bills. See, that's the wrong perspective. Okay, even though every one of us in here understands it, God says, we're going to talk about purposeful giving, is another giving, plan to give. Okay? Because if you don't plan to give, you're probably not going to give. All right? You got to reconcile in your mind that you're going to give. And God's principles are give the first fruits. Okay? Because what that does, that tells God that you trust Him with the rest. You give Him the first fruits and the best. In Malachi, we went through that whole series where He was just wearing the religious folks out because they were bringing lame, sick sacrifices. Okay? They were giving what was left over. That is not what God's people are supposed to do. Okay, God's people give God first, and God's people give God the best. You know, and you do tithe to the church because the church is God's tool that God used to present the gospel to the world. Okay, and when you give to a local church, you become a part of something bigger than you. That's cool. See, my money goes way further now when I get to give to the body. Man, we can impact this whole city with this body, okay? So we're part of the body of Christ. We all are responsible to do those kind of things, all right? And then give as needs arise, okay? Whatever God puts in your path. And I think we ought to save money. You know, I'm not real good at that. I mean, I'm going to tell you, every week I preach, God wears me out, okay? And y'all know that because I'm just as messed up as y'all are, you know. I just got to get it together by Saturday. Or try, right? Right. You're right. But saving money, I mean, I don't think we should be frivolously spending God's money either. We should be able to save money, okay? And any of you guys know what the term rat hole means? I heard some women laughing over there too, you know. Everybody knows what a rat hole is. It's that money that you save whether your wife knows about it or not. She knows it ain't hers. And I'm going to tell you, that ain't right. I used to do it, okay? And this is just a thing, because y'all know me. And I told y'all about how giving for me, when we took the spiritual gifts test, giving for me was low, okay? I'm down there, way down on giving. So deep down in me, I'm very, very stingy. So when I give, it's the grace of God when I give, okay? And I know that, but y'all don't know that, okay? It's the grace of God when I give. So I used to stash my little money. I'd save it up for a rainy day, whatever I wanted to do. And God kept putting people in my path that needed my money. And I was in that position where I wanted God to be used by God. And so I said, yes, Lord, a lot of times, you know. But what he taught me is that I need to just get, it's all his, you know. If I save money, I need to save it with my hands open. You know, I don't need to save it with a plan for me, okay? All right? And generous and sacrificial giving. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. Y'all still with me? Everybody still awake? I ain't putting y'all to sleep, right? Okay. This is serious stuff right here, you know? I want y'all to stick with me to the end. Verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. See, the only way you're going to decide something in your heart is if you let God in on it. Okay? God should be in your heart, okay? Decide in your heart what to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad the gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. This is the right thing to give to the poor. Amen? Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. See, if you're made rich, it ain't for you. You know? You are blessed to be a blessing. Okay? Some of y'all have an amazing ability to make money, okay? God can use that. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. See, when you give, you're showing God you're thankful, right? You're giving God back his own money. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience and accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. See, what you do makes your message better. Okay? Sometimes you have to give to people so they'll even listen to you. You haven't earned the right to speak the gospel into them because you haven't showed them that you love them. You know, God uses your money as an inroad for the gospel. Okay? And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given us. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. So, generous giving. We got sacrificial giving. See, and the result of this kind of giving, I'm going to tell y'all, is spiritual growth. That's the reward we get. We get to get closer to God. We get to move one step closer to God. We get to grow spiritually, okay? And how do you do that? I mean, when you please God, you sacrifice, right? And so in this deal of giving, what happens in giving, when you give sacrificially and you give it the right heart, the amount becomes a non-issue. It doesn't matter what you give. It's because of the heart, okay? And you know, large amounts. I mean, I'll tell you, when you give a large amount of money, giving control, you're giving God control. You're getting rid of your pride and your trust in the Lord and you're considering Him worthy of any amount. See, I'm going to tell y'all this story and I'm going to tell y'all why I said it, because it was an opportunity that I had to give, all right? I'm going to qualify this here, man, because I already said I'm not supposed to tell anybody about giving. I was doing experience in God, all right? It's back a long time ago, and God was really dealing with me about doing what He told me to do, all right? I was driving home one night, seeing this lady pushing a little cart on the side of the road. Really felt like the Lord was telling me to give her some money. I kept driving. I didn't get too far. I didn't get too far, because God said, you know, God does that with me when I act a fool. You know, I don't always know what God's telling me to do, but I do know when God's telling me when I'm not doing the right thing. I do know that, okay? And that's what that was. God said, are you going to do what I tell you to or not? I'm like, oh, okay. You know, that's the way I do God sometimes. I turned around, went back all the way around. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, God, you know, I got $20, whatever. And He said, no, you're going to give her $100. And I'm like, you knew I had that $100 bill in there? Because I remember a $100 bill, right? Okay. And I'm sitting there thinking, really? You know? I mean, me and God, we work that way because He knows I'm knucklehead and He's got grace and patience with me. Okay? And He does with you as well. Okay? So I drive, take me a while to get around, so me and got to talk a little bit, and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going to get out and give this lady this $100 bill, she's going to faint, you know? I got out, walked up to her, she had the little basket, you know, I got out, and I walked up to her, and you know, I'm always going to give God the glory. I said, ma'am, God told me to give this to you, and he loves you, you know? And I gave her this $100 bill, expecting her to go crazy, and there was something wrong in her mind a little bit, okay? She wasn't all there. That $100 bill wasn't for her. It could have been a quarter. You know what I'm saying? She just took it. The amount was for me. Okay? And that's why I tell y'all the $100. Okay? Not to brag that I gave somebody $100, because I'm not bragging. Because I was expecting this lady to give me praise for giving her $100. God taught me humility and obedience. Okay? That's what I'm praising in front of him right now. It's humility. The amount does not matter. Okay? It's that you give, and it's the heart that you give. And I didn't do it with the right heart, but God used it anyways, and he worked on me. It's worth $100 to get closer to God, right? I'm just telling you, some of y'all might have some money God wants, okay? Through that relationship, it's God's, okay? I'm not going to tell you what to give, when to give, or whatever. And a small amount, the same thing, small amount. The amount does not make a difference, because you may be in here tonight, and you say, man, I ain't got no money. You know, what does my little bit make? I'm going to tell you what, when you give it to the Lord, he'll make it go further than you can ever imagine. Okay? Feeding of the 5,000, the little boy, you know, he gave his whole lunch to everybody. God made it go quite a ways, right? He gave it all to him. Okay? Don't let Satan rob you of the blessing that comes from giving just because you don't think you have much to offer. Okay? Because it ain't what you give, it's the heart that you give it with. In 1 Kings 17, 7 through 16, there's the widow at Zarephath, okay? Elijah went to this widow. They've been feeding him. Ravens been feeding him. And then God told him to go to the widow, okay? He goes to the widow, and he tells this widow, God told me to tell you to make me some bread. And she said, well, I only have just a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. And I was fixing to make a fire, go make some cakes for me and my son, and then we're going to die, okay? Elijah said, well, make me one too. Okay? And there's a principle right there that we can learn when you don't think you have anything. Okay? When you give it to God and you give it to God's principles and you do with it what God tells you to do, it's going to work. God will never let you down. Okay? And in this story here, she made him the cake and the flour and the oil never ran dry. See? God will take care of you. I promise you. I promise you, if you do things that God's ways, he'll take care of you. But what happens is you begin to mix your ways in there, and God is not a part of your ways. All right? He's not obligated to make any of your plans work that you didn't ask him about. That's the God I serve, okay? He loves you, but I'm going to tell you what. There's standards. There's rules, if you will, okay? And turn over to Mark 12, 41 through 44. We're getting close to the end. Another familiar story about a widow's offering. Mark 12, starting in verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Like I said before, it was outside the temple, people putting their money in, okay? Many rich people threw in large amounts, making a lot of noise with them coins, all right? But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worthy of a fraction of a penny. Okay? Look at verse 43. We're coming to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus. Calling his disciples to him. See, Jesus saw something in this woman that put in two coins that caught his attention. He saw somebody giving with a right heart. He saw somebody giving everything that they had. He said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty, but in everything, and put in everything, all she had to live on. See? Jesus sees you. He sees your heart. He sees where you're at. He knows, okay? Just because you don't have money don't mean you can't give, all right? You can give other things as well. And isn't it amazing in this religious atmosphere that we're talking about? We see stories of two needy widows showing people how to give. Okay? I'm going to tell you what, we can learn a lot from the needy. Many times the needy teach me, okay? As we walk out in these streets and we go do things and we serve the Lord, the needy teach me over and over how selfish I am and how blessed I am and how, I keep myself. I mean, you go to mission trips, that's what I hear, foreign mission trips. I haven't been able to go one. I hear it changes your life because of the need over there, okay? All right? Needy people change people, okay? So if you're in here tonight and you're needy, I'm going to tell you what, we need you. We do not need your money. We need your perspective. We need you to allow God to be God in your life as well. Okay? We want all people in this church. We are family. Okay? Y'all seen that movie Blindside? Anybody yet? Y'all need to go see it. It's a good movie. I'm going to tell you what, it's a lot what I'm talking about right here. It will change. It's a good movie, right? It's good. Yeah, it's good. All right. Y'all go see it. And we did the building fund for Living Hope College Station. The slogan for that thing was, not equal giving, but equal sacrifice. See, we may not all be able to give the same amount, but we can all sacrifice the same amount. Okay? Amen? Okay? Y'all understand? Y'all still with me? All right? I know it's getting late. Y'all hang in there. Keep your eyes up here. We're gonna be done in just a minute. Even when it doesn't make sense, give to God and you will grow spiritually, I promise you. Okay? And I got one more story, and I'm going to tell you, I knew I was going to have a lot of stories because just the way I am about giving, okay? When Dina came to me and told me that God was telling her to go part-time, I was like, are you sure that was God? Because my wife, she had a good job, She's rich. You were rich, baby. You were rich, And for her to quit that job, even go part-time, I mean, it was a substantial. I'm not going to give you that number, okay? All right? It was substantial to our livelihood, okay? And when she said, I said, okay, we'll go ahead and do that. Yeah, I'll trust the Lord in that. Then we come back the week later, and we had been part of the building fund, And we had pledged a certain amount of money, I'm like, I wonder if God knew she was going to quit her job when I pledged that, It was a crisis of belief, I'm telling you, okay? But because we sacrificially gave then, and then now we're fixing to lose a big chunk of the sacrificial giving stuff, whatever, okay? Did I tell y'all she was rich? I'm going to tell you one thing we did. We said, you know what? God's been too good to us. When we cut, we ain't cutting God, okay? And I'm going to tell you, to this day, God has blessed us financially. God, I never even really, God showed me how to do some things. I got to quit doing some things, okay? But here's the thing. God was faithful, and He's still faithful, and He still blesses me financially. And it's just amazing how God is. I'm just telling you, God is faithful when you do it His way. And I come to know God as my provider more that time than I ever would have in a sermon or anything like that, okay? See, the battle's always going to be against yourself, right? Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This self-denial is a constant battle that we need to continually examine our motives behind every act of righteousness. I'm going to close with this. When we win those inward battles, we begin to draw closer to the Lord, amen? Colossians 3:23-25 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord you are serving, and anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. See, we got to remember, these things, these righteous acts that we do, they're for the Lord. They're from the Lord, and they're for the Lord. See, those are those rewards that we're talking about. People who give with the right motive are not looking for the reward. But Scripture says it, and God says it, they're going to get it anyway. Okay? And then someday, they're going to get to take that reward, and they're going to get to lay it at Jesus' feet. Right? God is going to bless us, and we're going to get to bless Him back. We're going to have something for the birthday party. We're going to have a present, you know. It's going to be amazing, you know. I don't want to show up to heaven empty-handed, you know. It's amazing. So I ask you again. I just say, that's why we do what we do. Because He's worthy. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank You for these people. Lord, just the fact that they would stay awake and listen, Lord, to Your Word, God, lets me know, God, that we're hungry for Your righteousness. God, we want to do what You want us to do, Lord. And I know that there's people in here, when you hear about a message of a relationship with God, it just is foreign to them. God, would You please speak to them in this worship time here to realize that You, tonight, could be the whole reason that we're doing this, is that You're trying to draw them into a relationship with Yourself. God, I pray for that tonight. God, I pray for people to go past a religious act and enter into a relationship with You. Lord, I thank You that it's so easy that all we have to do is confess our sin, Lord, and realize that we're a sinner and we're not going to make it without You. God, I realize that You are the way, the only way, and it was Your sacrifice, Lord, that made it available for us. And all we have to do is we just have to ask. We have to come forward. We don't have to even have to come forward. We don't have to come forward. We just have to ask You to come into our heart and change us, God. And Lord, I ask that people would do that, Lord, because Your blood is the most powerful thing in the world. God, I thank You for Your blood, and I thank You for Your sacrifice, and I thank You that You have the right to speak into our life this boldly tonight. So Lord, I pray that You do with people in here tonight as You will. Amen. We have a time of response, and I mean, if you want to come up here, you can come up here. I'll be up here to pray with you, but just respond to God as He leads.